on the Wall, Season 1, Episode 9, Dan. We've got one more episode left after this.
We're almost there, Tim. Our contracted 10 episodes for Season 1. Yeah, we signed on the dotted line. We promised it.
Yeah.
It got shaky around the middle, didn't it? Yeah. We dropped off a couple of weeks here and there, but we're getting there. Almost at 10.
It's bittersweet because we go, get a little bit of a break, but then it's not that much work.
Catch
up once a week.
Yeah, it's not. You catch up, you talk rubbish, set some rules, and you hang out.
It's
so
good.
Really, the 2 week break isn't essential, but we're going to take it.
No feedback this week, Dan. We usually start off with feedback, but we did get an interesting message on Facebook.
Yep.
In the comments section of the, we won't go into detail because it was quite long. It was lengthy.
It's quite lengthy. If you go and have a look at the post we put up, where there was a photo of Tim out looking across the great city of Melbourne as he just pondered about how his friends were back in South Korea. Somebody seemed to take it quite literally.
Young man from South Africa.
Yes. And I think he was under the impression you're actually somebody from South Korea yourself. He was in search. He wants seems to want a pen pal or a friend of
South
some
Korean
kind
friend
that is of South Korean descent. Thinks that was Tim. Just to clear up, Tim isn't from South Korea and doesn't actually have any friends there.
But look, happy to become a pen pal, because I think that's an age-old thing that should come back.
Yeah, but again, one's South Korean, not Australian.
Yeah. Dan, you came in today and you look a bit... You're needing advice about something. You haven't told me what it's about, and you've come to me, trusted advisor.
Yeah. Look, I do something during the week. I play a sport, and look, something's come up with it. It's a recurring issue, and I just want your opinion on it.
Okay,
maybe a little bit of advice.
I can do that. Mm. I've got a rule today that I reckon is going to please a lot of people, because it's going to set the record straight.
Yep.
This is something that needs to have a rule across it, and I'm really happy to be bringing it to the people today, Dan.
Great.
Let's get it started.
All right.
Dan, I've got a wedding this week. The first wedding of my friends is this week.
Okay, now, just quickly, is this the wedding of the Bucks party?
Yes.
The famous Bucks party? So the gang. This is the gang wedding.
The gang is getting back together.
Oh, no. They're going to cause trouble. Okay.
So the engagement party happened a little while ago, and at an engagement party, you do get a gift.
Mm.
You're aware of that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then at a wedding, you're also expected to bring a gift. There's a lot of gifts.
Well, just quickly, I actually had a conversation about this with somebody the other night.
Did you?
George's mum. So she was telling us about this couple that she knew that were going to an engagement party.
Yeah.
And they were like, nah, presents aren't a thing.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, presents are certainly a thing for an engagement. My rule has always been, if somebody's putting on the alcohol and the food, whatever you're going to eat or drink, you give a gift in that dollar amount. True?
Right.
Well,
this is the road that I'm traveling down, because
okay,
I'm really worried. I'm really concerned.
Oh, you think you didn't give enough?
Well, we haven't got it yet. But I did have a conversation with someone who said that exact same thing.
I
said, I've got a wedding coming up. We haven't bought a gift yet. How much does one spend on a wedding gift? And that person returned with, do you know how much roughly ahead they're going to be spending on the wedding? And I said, what's that got to do with anything? Well, you take what they're spending on you, double it, and that's the wedding gift.
Double it?
Mm.
Well, I've heard people spend... Well, do you know how much they're spending per head? Because I'm thinking like $120 per head for some reason.
Okay, so this
including
is
alcohol and food.
This is why I'm concerned, Dan, because the venue that they're going to, roughly, if you're having a wedding there, it's a very nice venue.
Yeah.
$250 a head, which would mean...
You're not given a $500 present.
Well, that's the other thing. It's me and Emma going.
That's
Does
what
that
I mean.
Does that mean it's $1,000? Because if it's $250 for me, $250 for her, double that, $500 each, $1,000. Are Emma and I expected to give...
No.
...a gift worth $1,000 at this wedding?
I would not... Who's saying the double it part? Because I could make... Even a $500 gift, if you're paying just to replace the money spent on you per head... Still $500. That is excessive.
Yeah.
I could justify $250 between the two of you, Tim.
I'm just saying, where did this come from? If anyone
Who's
knows.
Who's setting the rules? I mean.
Where did that come from? Where did the double thing come from? You need to pay them back what they're spending on you. Sorry.
Have you heard any of this? Camera girl, Caitlin?
That's your choice.
Never heard this.
In my opinion, it's your choice to have an expensive wedding. That's not
That's
my
true.
Choice.
That's true. I'm not asking you to spend this much
to
on
me. To
me,
you'd be down at the play center, down at.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought of a place.
Moral moral of the story, I don't think... Okay, let me ask you this. How much did you spend on the engagement present?
Oh, about 100, 150.
Why that much?
I don't know. I just thought, oh, 150.
Was that on behalf of you and Emma?
I thought that was really generous.
Is that on behalf of you and Emma?
Yeah.
Okay, I think if you... I think bump at 100 for the wedding. 250 for you and Emma. Anyone else that's paying more than that, I think... I honestly just think you're doing it wrong.
Someone please get in touch with us and clip us up.
Yeah, in the comments, leave how much. What's a ballpark? Give us a ballpark. Please.
That'd be great. Thanks.
Wow, $1,000. I don't know. I've got something straight off the bat that admittedly I did notice the issue occur at the Ed Sheeran concert that we both went to.
We both went to Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, we went
on the weekend. We did.
Now, we're going to do an Ed Sheeran segment later because we've got a few things from it. But I've got something that's come up and it's jogged my memory about it there because it's not the only place where this issue arises in concerts. It's sort of, you know what it is? It's largely a ticketing issue for events where spectating is occurring.
Sporting events, concerts, movies.
I mean... things where height of other spectators can become an issue, Tim.
Okay.
Blocking views.
Yeah, right.
Mm. Yeah.
You could spend a fortune on a ticket, Dan, and turn up to an event in the standing area and go, I might not actually catch this event because I could have someone who's 8 foot tall.
And that's the thing. The best tickets, the ones with the best views, are more expensive only to turn up. And what? Be blocked by some other...
Andre the Giant.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, of course. Now, I want to be careful here because I don't have an issue with tall people. It's not their fault.
Our cousin is very tall.
James.
James is...
Ah, yes.
How tall is James? 6 foot very 11 tall. Or something? He's tall. He's a big guy. Tall. And I'm sure he gets the old, if people can reach his shoulder, tap on the shoulder. Sorry, mate. Can I jump in front of you?
He'd get that all the time. He's paid the same amount for his ticket.
That's right.
It's unfair, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think there needs to be a system.
Yeah.
Yeah? But I don't know what. I can't quite... Is it at a point where, you know, we need to have security guards, extra security, just organising everyone tallest to shortest to tallest? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Is that what we need to be doing? Do we need to have sections in these venues where...
Tall section. Yeah.
I mean, that's going to break up, you know, people with friends and...
What if the ticket agency... Let me throw this at you. You're buying your tickets online... What if the ticket agency had a drop-down window, Mr. Daniel O'Kelly, drop-down section, height, one...
Wow, so heighted 80? Tickets.
What are you, 170?
I don't know, almost just a 5'8", I think.
Okay, let's say you had to put your height in.
Yeah.
And then, like what you're saying, there were sections in the stadium where we're distributed around the stadium in order of height.
So, okay.
So all the 180s are together, all the 165s are over there, all the 200 centimeter blokes are back there.
I know it sounds, you know, all funny and elaborate. But I mean, really, with technology, this could be achievable. Ticket Tech could really implement something like this.
A height selector.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you go the same, because it's also a slight issue with weight sometimes. Could you do the same, or is that a bit discriminatory?
I think that might be walking a line.
Fair enough. We'll stick to height for now. That's a good point.
Yeah, good. Dan, do you want kids one day?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple of Danettes running around, you know.
Yeah.
Boys, girls.
Yeah, good. They are. Kids are great. And you know what I especially love about kids is seeing them with their parents in a park setting or at a playground and the encouragement of imagination in those kids. Where they're sort of running around and, you know, Camelot's there and a dragon and they're a knight.
The world's magical.
It is.
Instead of, you know, the fiery piece of crap it can often be.
Yeah, and it is. Well, that's the thing. Kids get to a certain age, and it does. They have to be sort of informed on, actually, it's not as magical as it seems. I know that you thought that that mountain was made out of fairy floss.
Yeah.
But
it's actually not, it's just grass.
Rock and grass and stuff. And I was thinking to myself the other day, I witnessed something, and I thought, at what age do parents need to start letting their kids know that this isn't all
tough to know,
bells
isn't it?
And whistles?
Yeah.
Because I saw a guy with his son, and his son looked about 10.
Mm.
Now, I don't know about you, but when I was 10, starting to get pretty switched on.
I was very switched on. Yeah, yeah, very aware of the world and my surroundings.
Yeah, yeah, you're getting closer to high school, you know, becoming pretty cool,
yeah,
all that sort of stuff. But this guy was at the ATM with his son. He just withdrew his cash, and his son looked at him and said, "How's that all work? How's the cash come out of there?"
Inquisitive. Yeah. It's a good question. Yeah, yeah.
Dad took a moment, and he thought, he had two options there.
Yep.
He could have just explained it. There's some sort of robotic system there. It's automatic. It's a computer, blah, blah, blah.
I'm guessing he didn't.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
Dad's gone with something a little bit more creative.
Yep.
And he's told him that there's a little man who lives in the ATM who watches what you're doing and then gives out the...
Yeah.
The cash.
Almost a little bit more fun for dad, that, isn't it?
It is.
It's a chance for him to live through his kid. It's like, you know, see the excitement and the imagination sort of spark. I get it.
Not so much fun for the son, though, when he gets to 16 and tells his friends,
well,
that,
no.
What do you reckon a little man in the ATM in there? And they go, you what?
Yeah.
That's true. I just think 10 is probably a little old.
Well, because the thing is, you do end up coming in contact with bullies. Don't you? Because you know what there are? And this is the flip side of not informing your kids too early. If you do, they become the dicks. Your kid becomes a dick. He's the one that's going around saying, oh, idiot.
Yeah,
idiot.
Yeah.
They don't know any better. Did you hear what he said? You don't want your kid to be that guy. So really, I feel like I'd rather my kid be the imaginatory.
Yeah.
Is that a word?
Yeah.
Kid.
Yeah.
For a little bit longer rather than being the dick kid.
Absolutely. I remember going to a shopping centre after school one day with all my friends. I was about 16.
Oh, okay.
And I spoke about the guys who manually operate the escalators with a pedal system underneath.
Oh, wow. You were told that?
I was told that. And
That's a new one. Haven't heard that.
I ran with that. But you're right.
If you're
that guy... You've got a target on your back, Dan.
You do. So you've got to really... It's a hard, hard line to follow. What were you when you were growing up? You said you got to 10 and you're pretty switched on, so you had wiped out all imagination.
Well, you and I are quite similar.
Yeah.
Like, remember, we often got kids coming up to us and saying, oh, you're wrong about this, wrong about that.
Yeah.
Remember when kids used to say to us that, you know, Santa wasn't real?
Oh. Yeah. That was Marcus. He was an idiot. I mean, we all came to know he was wrong.
Oh, we all know he's laughing now, don't we, Marcus? Santa comes every year.
Santa's not real.
December 25th.
Marcus. I often, Tim, will bring to the table something Trump-related.
I
find it fascinating. I find it funny. He's very cartoonish, isn't he?
He's an interesting character. He really is. And when he came into the spotlight and decided to go for president, there was a reason why 99% of people laughed at that.
Yeah,
because he's a bit of a joke.
Yep. And you can tell that his presidency, a lot of the decisions he makes, he's really just, they're off the cuff. He's throwing things out there and just sort of seeing, is that going to land? No, yeah. I'm kidding. I'm not that dumb. He's learning on the go.
Slowly, but he's learning.
Yeah. He's done something new that he wants to make a new branch off the military. Have you seen this in the news?
A new branch. So it's sort of like a business that has an IT, another division of the military that looks after what exactly?
Okay, so like in the military, they've got you know, the Navy SEALs. They've got the Marines. Yeah, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, right.
New one he wants to do, space military.
Ooh.
Yeah, just fight the space wars, or should we say Star Wars?
Yeah,
Tim.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly there was a Star Wars released in December, and you can't help but think: Is Trump a fan? Is Trump seeing cool things now and going, how can I spin this in a way for it to be national security where people might jump on board? Now, what would you think if somebody came to you and said, you know what, we need space military?
Well, I wonder if he's like had a long weekend that's just gone. I wonder if he's over the weekend, him and Melania have sat down and watched all the Star Wars.
Well, yeah.
And then he's come to the meeting and gone, guys. So, I reckon we have these space military.
Yeah.
And, like, we'll have this ship and we'll call it, like, I don't know, like the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
That'll be, like, the lead
Sounds
ship.
Cool. I mean, I'm just... This is off the top of my head.
There could be an enemy that's building some sort of Death Star.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And so, what I was thinking was... he's come into this meeting and he's said it. And in true Trumpy fashion, he's surrounded himself with yes men.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great idea. And to Trump's credit, he's gone, to be honest, I was sort of kidding. But they agree. They think it's a good idea. So what I want to do, Tim, I think it's a great opportunity. Let's start showing Trump certain movies and see what kind of cool stuff can come from it. Off the top of my head, Jurassic World. Show him Jurassic World. We've got dinosaurs again. You know, dinosaur military.
We could have velociraptors running through the streets with like laser beams and guns on their heads.
How cool would that be? That would be very cool. What about this? Harry Potter. Wizard Wars. Yeah. I mean, that's a thing.
A branch of the military that is like Hogwarts
They're
division.
Wizards, yeah. It's like, Dumbledore and stuff. Who's that? Is that a character?
Yeah, you know what, Dan? At the start of this, when you first brought this in and started telling me about it, I didn't like Trump. But well, now he's recreating movies in real life.
He's quickly becoming the people's president.
I like him.
I like him too.
Dan, I'm in a bit of a bind at the moment at work.
Okay.
Okay.
As not elevator related?
Not elevator related. Okay. No. Next week I'll bring something.
Yeah, great.
Elevator.
Okay.
We get a lot of people in and out of work, contractors, things like that. People who show their face semi-regularly, I would say.
Yeah. Well, what would you say? Like maybe a weekly or a fortnightly basis?
Weekly, fortnightly, monthly. Okay. Like people, it varies.
Yeah.
Regulars
to
the workplace, but who don't work in the office.
Yep.
Yep. And there's one guy who comes in fairly often.
Yeah.
I'd say once a month. At the very least, once a month.
You got a rapport?
Well, I thought I did. I thought I did.
What'd you say? Once a month?
Once a month. And and I'm the contact. So when he comes to the building...
You're the one
I'm the guy that he signs in at reception.
Yeah.
And I get the message and say, you know, old mate's here. Cool, I'll come down again at reception.
Yeah, I'm
the guy. How are you, mate? I'm shaking his hand.
I would say that's grounds to have a rapport with somebody. I mean, you're their person in that setting.
We should start to know personal things about each other, really.
Yeah. You should be able to ask, how are the kids by name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That level of relationship. Yeah. That's what I'm going for.
Okay. So you're going for it. He's not picking up what you're putting down.
Well, he drops something in after every time that we finish our meeting and leaves.
Like what?
He says, nice to meet you.
That's not good.
It's not good at all.
That's certainly not a rapport on his end.
Especially because we've met probably more than five times now. And I'm really one of the only people he sees. Yeah, I mean, he sees a group of us, but...
But it's you're the one greeting him. You're the one there. Yes. You're the first point of call. Yes. He walks through the elevators. Yeah. There's Tim.
Yeah.
Tim James.
Yeah. Nice to meet you, mate. We've met before quite a lot. I don't say that because I feel like, is that rude to pull someone and go, you're rude. We've already met.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
I wanted to come to you because I'm not sure what to do. Do I pull him up on it? How do I make him remember me?
I think you've probably... There's a couple options you can do. First one that comes to mind, you get somebody to head in before and go, hey, just let you know, Tim will be with you in a minute. Try that.
Okay.
Because that plants Tim. You know what I mean? And then he might be looking for that reminder. He might go, oh, thank God, that person reminded me of that guy's name.
Yeah.
It's not great that he needs to be reminded, granted, but maybe he needs the memory jog. So then when he does come, when you do come in, hey, Tim, how you going?
Yeah.
Or do something memorable. That's my favorite option, just because it's a bit more...
Like what?
Well, I don't know. Let's spitball. What could you do? Could you do something? Could you drop something when you come in and somebody say, oh, classic Tim.
Maybe I could come up with a catchphrase that's both witty and memorable.
So like what?
I don't know.
what, like a Tim James sign-off or something?
Yeah.
Well, you could like, I guess when he, just before he jumps in, when you're leaving each other to say, nice to meet you, mate, you come out and just say, it's always a pleasure for Tim James to get to see.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Repeat yourself in the third.
Yeah, bada bing, bada boom. Have a good one, mate. Something like that. Then I become the bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah, but that's not your name. He's going to know he's the bada bing, bada boom guy. No one wants to be the bada bing, bada boom guy. Okay, so Tim, we talked about it on at the top of the show. I've got an issue it's recurring for me every Tuesday night. I play basketball. And it's open age basketball.
Yeah.
And it ranges between guys that are, you know, 18 to 20, all the way up to guys in their 40s. And I got to be honest, it's a testosterone-filled environment.
Yeah.
And because of the lack of skill amongst the teams, we're no good. we play in a very low grade, so often it boils down into physical altercations every week.
The frustration of not being skilled enough to play the game and go, you know, I'll throw a fist.
Yeah. I'll do the one thing I know how to. Fucking belt him. So what I'm trying to work out...
I'm going to have to beep that out.
I know. I've dropped a swear word.
I love it.
Well, this is what it does. It revs me up, Tim.
Yeah. Can see that.
What I want to ask you is, when it's getting to this point in the game, when both teams aren't scoring very much and one team's up and the other team knows that they can't quite get that lead back, what can I do as a person on the court to try and avoid the physical altercation of it all? Because it's getting a little bit off-putting. We're a bit of a pansy team.
Yeah, okay.
We if we get up in a game, we're then scared that the team's going to hurt us because we're
winning. Yeah, yeah. Look, I feel like...
Give us some solutions.
Are you in a team where most of you are the same age? You're sort of young, early 20s.
Yeah.
So you are. You're the boys in the league.
Yep.
You're the boys and they're the men when you do play those older guys who are a little bit physically unfit and they can throw their weight around but can't jog.
Yes.
So you do have to sort of... If you beat them...
Yeah,
you need to be humble, first of all.
Okay.
But I'd just start throwing out little compliments. Give them little free goes. Give them little... give them the ball and say, oh, I nearly got you there. Good.
Yeah,
you know,
okay. That was a good try. Yeah. Oh, little pats.
Pats on the bum. You know, maybe if you play them... Do you play a team twice in a season?
Play them a couple times.
Okay. Start to remember people's names. Start to take note of people's names. Next time you play them and go, Paul, mate, awesome. Your free throw's looking unreal.
Yeah, really just friendly.
I think that'll keep it from boiling.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So anytime somebody gets a bit aggressive, Pully, hey, come on. We're all friends. That sort of stuff. Just first name basis.
Take full ownership of it too. If Pully's annoyed at you and he's about to punch you, I'm so sorry, mate. I must have tripped you or something. And then all of a sudden they go, no, you're right.
It's hard to hit a nice guy, isn't
it? It is. It's really hard to hit a nice guy.
It is. It's also easy to hit a nice guy.
Yeah.
They're not going to hit back. That's my issue.
Yeah, okay. I see.
No solution.
I got nothing.
Great.
Dan, we both went to Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
He's touring Australia at the moment. He sold a million tickets in Australia.
It's amazing. Four nights sold out in Melbourne. It's like 75,000 people at each show. Mm. Mate, it was mayhem, wasn't it? Wasn't it crazy?
He's an amazing artist. He's by himself on stage, for those of you who haven't seen Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
And he's just got this loop station, and he does all the music, he sings everything, he's got no band with him. He's amazing, isn't he?
He's so good, and it would be... I can only imagine how hard it would be to entertain that many people on that scale, just yourself and your guitar.
Yeah.
And you know what, though? It brings up a point for me, actually. I did have an issue with him.
Okay.
With Ed.
You have an issue with Ed. He's one of the nicest
he seems lovely.
Guys ever.
No, and I don't think he did anything malicious in terms of with intent. I don't think there was any intent. But he's obviously, as we just said, he's trying to entertain a big crowd and stuff. Gets tricky. He did something that a lot of musicians do that I'm not fond of. And to be honest, it stresses me out. It almost ruined the music and the whole experience.
What is it?
Did he do this in your show where he gets the audience to sing along with it? You know where they do that? Repeat after me. La 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 la
la la la la la la
la la la la. Yeah, that sort of thing. Perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
Yeah,
really good reimagining of it.
So you got stressed out by that?
Yeah, because what they do is they keep building on them.
They make them longer.
They make them longer. They make them a little different. Just when you think it's going one way, they take it another. And you know what? By the end of it, Tim, I'm stressed to the eyeballs. I'm sitting there going, everyone, shh, because I need to be able to hear this because I'm not going to be able to repeat it properly.
And you know the other thing as well, Ed starts hitting notes that you can't quite hit.
Oh,
that. You know, so it all starts off down here. Sing this back to me. La, 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 la. Yeah. And everyone does that. And then he goes, la, 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 la. And he goes somewhere else.
Yeah.
You're like, Ed. I can't sing up there.
Yeah, mate, bring it down. Bring it down. See, that's annoying too. So that little things like that sort of put a dampener on the night. But all in all, it was good. It was good.
It's interesting. I also had an issue with the singing, not Ed's, but the crowd participation at the concert.
Okay, why?
And I think I want this to sort of, I want to communicate this to anyone who's going to any gig.
Okay, so it's trickling over into just general.
This is just general gig life. Going to gigs, going to concerts.
Okay.
Now, When one of your favorite artists comes to town, like an Ed Sheeran or a Katy Perry or a U2 for your sake. Now, you have two options when it comes to singing.
Okay.
At a concert.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, there is no shades of grey. It's black and white.
So there's singing and not singing? Is that
yes.
What okay. Well, why?
Now, the difference between the two is that you either know the words or you don't.
Okay. So you had a few people around you, I'm guessing.
If you're going to sing at a concert, have the respect, I'll just go with respect.
Yeah.
To learn the words of the lyrics that you're coming to watch. Because if you're going there going, you know, Ed Sheeran, Castle on the Hill.
And the thing is, as loud as it is in there, the immediate people around you can hear you. It's off-putting when you've got somebody absolutely. Up there. So it's either match it or just don't partake.
If I'm standing next to you at a concert and you're singing along to The A-Team by Ed Sheeran and you know every word by word, that's complimenting Ed's performance.
Okay,
so I'm
good.
This is all right. If you're singing along going, all right, lips, pale, that's ruining it for me.
Okay.
Stop. Ed's
so is this a
sing.
Thing for you or is it a thing for Ed? Because it seems like you've got Ed's back here. You're going, don't disrespect Ed. It seems you've come into his defense.
I'm saying,
don't insult the man. Listen and use this as an opportunity to learn the words, maybe.
Yeah, or do your homework before the event. I'm sticking up for all artists out there. They don't want to be standing out there playing a song and look out to a bunch of audience who don't know the words.
Bunch of idiots.
Yeah. Just going,
looking at their mate going,
No, don't come along.
Idiots.
Yeah.
All right, but you enjoyed yourself.
Yeah, it was great.
It was a great night.
Yeah, good night.
Tim.
Dan.
It's time for
Tim and Dan's rule book. Dun, dun,
dun, the book of rules. Tim and Dan. Yep. Good.
Gets tighter and...
It does. It gets tighter. You do different things with it. Different pacing. Love it.
I started to conduct.
You do.
The band.
Little. Yeah. And I come in at the end with the cut.
I like it. Dan, my turn for the rule this week.
Yeah.
A very popular segment we do. Get a lot of messages about this.
This is the one that every week people interact with on social media.
Wouldn't it be great? I mean, this is where we put a rule into a hypothetical book.
It'd be great to have a book,
wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it?
A nice leather-bound book.
I
picture something like a Bible.
Okay.
Big.
Yeah.
Big book.
Something that looks like it's been etched in the stone of time.
Yeah. This is here.
Yeah.
Forever.
Dan, my rule today is going to help a lot of people out because I think a lot of people experience what I'm about to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know. There's no clarity. There's no rule around this.
Okay. Good.
Now, bringing chewing gum out in public is a very risky business.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't dare attempt it.
Shareable things.
Yeah.
Chocolates, M&M's.
Especially wrap things, Tim, where there's not much interaction, like, you know, flesh and the...
Small shareable items, but we're going to be honing in on chewing gum.
Okay.
Because chewing gum seems to be like a minty chewing gum.
Yeah.
Seems to be that thing where it's like you bring it out and people go, I'm entitled to a piece of that.
Absolutely.
Because it's minty fresh.
Yeah.
And I need one.
And you've got so many of them.
That's right.
Mm.
So, the rule that I would like to put into the rule book, Dan,
okay, great. I'm loving where it's going already.
When a person opens up
okay.
a packet of chewing gum,
yes,
minty fresh gum,
yes,
after the first person, after one person has asked, may I have a piece, a further two may ask, after that, you can't have one.
Okay, so if you're in a group of 10,
that's right.
First three in.
That's right.
I think three's generous.
You know what? I thought so too when I was writing it.
Yeah. I would almost
say, I had two.
Because you know what? There's different size packets of chewy you can get.
I'm not talking Hubba Bubba because that's too generous. Hubba Bubba, that's like in the whole packet.
Yeah,
you get
three. But even a PK. Yeah. Had a PK? Little tube ones. There's not much in there.
Yeah. Reckon we should lower it.
I would say
to two.
The immediate one following the initial question of can I have one, may have one too. Any more than that, I think.
Can I have one? Yes. Can I have one too? Yes. Can I have one? No.
Yeah.
So two people.
The thing is, how do you go about the no without seeming like a dick?
Well, that's the thing. If it's in a rule, if we're giving people
yeah,
the
well,
tools
that's true.
To go,
that's true.
Sorry, the Tim and Dan's rule.
That's great, actually. I didn't know that publicity for us, too.
Well, they can reference it.
Yeah.
If you do get stuck in that situation at work, you know, at school, anything like that.
Okay.
And people go, well, hold on, those two got something. You go, well,
yeah.
Please see attached.
Yep.
The rules.
Yeah, shoot around the link. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
So okay, just so we can write it in the book, when
someone opens up a packet of chewing gum.
Yes.
The first two people to ask for a piece will get a piece.
Get a piece, but then
anyone that follows will not.
Okay, perfect.
Regardless of how many pieces are in the chewing gum packet. That's just a little asterisk after the rule. We'll work on the succinct.
Yeah, no, it's quite succinct, but we'll get it there. Anyway, so when it gets published, it'll be nice and clear. But for now, another rule in
Tim and Dan's rule book.
The book of rules. Tim and Dan. Perfect.
Yeah. Dan, episode 9 has come to a close.
It's done.
We're very close to end of season 1.
And we're very excited.
We are. I mean,
because it means season 2.
Well, I think we should, maybe next week, we should talk about a couple of ideas that maybe we're thinking of doing in season 2.
Okay, yeah. Just sort of a bit of a recap and a bit of a what's happening moving forward.
I think the rule book will continue.
Because I think the rule book's here to stay.
The people genuinely find that helpful because it does get them out of sticky situations.
Yeah, yeah. As you said, the new Chewy one, reference that with your mates. That'll get you out of hot water.
And if you do have a rule, you can get in touch with us on our socials.
Tim and Dan on Facebook. We've got Tim Dan Graham on Instagram. Mm. Tim Dan tweets. I've stopped tweeting.
Have you?
It's horrendous. If you want to follow it, I'll start tweeting again.
Someone tweeted us because that'd be fun, wouldn't it? Just one.
Just one tweet. That'd be enough to relight the fire, maybe. Yeah. Okay, well, anyway, go there. YouTube, Tim and Dan. Go to the channel section.
We're all there.
Yeah, we're all there. We're across it all.
And subscribe.
I think we're at 50 videos now on YouTube. We've got a library. Go and have a look at the library.
There's a lot there. Yeah. There's some old stuff
in there. There's some old sketches in there. You'll find Tim. Very young-looking Tim.
Good. Dan, our family have a little bit of a gathering this weekend. We have Irish heritage, as do most white Australians.
I didn't even think of this.
St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day at my place.
So we might have to catch up and chat about that next week.
I reckon there will almost, without doubt, be something from that night. So look forward to that.
Very good. Dan, as always, it's been a pleasure.
Always is, Tim.
See you next week.
See ya.